Luke chapter 5. This morning we're going to look at God's master plan for evangelism. God's master plan for evangelism. Being Missions Month, let's focus on getting involved in the missions outreach of this church. So what can we learn from our Lord concerning missions and being involved in world evangelism from this passage of Scripture this morning? Are you willing to be involved? I trust you are. For God so loved the world. And a life in tune with God is a life that has the same love as God has. And God loves the world, so should you and I have a great love for people. Almost 8 billion people. Only God knows the exact number. But we would estimate some 8 billion people living on planet Earth today. Each one has an eternal soul. And if we really believe our Bibles, whether you believe it or not, it's true, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And we in Christ Jesus have a responsibility. Are you willing to be involved in the missions program of this church in 2019? I trust your answer to that is yes, Pastor.
Yes.
Let me add it. Okay, well, let's learn from the life of our Lord Jesus this morning some principles concerning our Master's plan for evangelism. Note here in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," or the lake of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we've been reminded this morning concerning your amazing grace. And we are thankful that we can have a rest within our souls this morning as the people of God. We ask now that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would teach us from your precious word. And Lord God, I pray if there are some that do not know in a very personal way of that amazing grace and that rest, that peace within the soul, Lord, I pray that you might draw these ones unto yourself this morning. And Lord God, we ask for those of us that know you personally that you would enlarge our hearts for world evangelism. Not only this day, but in the coming days. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God's master plan for evangelism begins with you and I understanding that God has given us a great commission. At the end of verse number 10, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, James and John, in their midst, Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." What are some principles that we can learn from verses 1 to 11 that will help us, that will encourage us, that will remind us and stir us afresh concerning the need to catch men for the glory of God? Well, the first point I'd like to make is found within the word pressed there in verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him. Pressed upon who? Pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The word pressed there means literally to hover over, to lie upon. The crowd was in our Lord's face, literally. They pressed upon him. They intruded upon his private area. We like to keep our distance from people, do we not? At least most of us do not converse one to another, nose to nose. Touch my nose and then I'll have a few words to you. Oh, no, no. He said, let's keep our distance. Well, the people pressed upon our Lord. They were in his face, literally. Why? Well, note then verse number 1. To hear the word of God. They wanted to hear the word of God. Why were the multitude pressing upon our Lord? Why were they surrounding him, encroaching upon him? Because the Bible teaches us they wanted to hear the word of God. The people were hungry for the word of God. They no doubt recognized they had needs and they believed that Jesus Christ could meet their needs and they wanted to hear the word of God. As we consider missions, as we consider God's master plan for evangelism, which is worldwide missions, may I remind you, beloved, first and foremost, not everybody, listen to me carefully, not everybody is disinterested in Christianity. For what does the Bible teach? They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. We tend to have the mindset that there are not many that have a thirst for God. Now, that might be true to an extent around our little micro worlds. But we need to be mindful that the majority of the world is simply waiting to hear the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not everybody is disinterested. And I think sometimes we have this mindset that our opinion is correct. What we think is the absolute correct judgment on a matter. And we'll make statements like, well, For me, I tried so-and-so, it didn't work. So hang on, that is gospel then? It didn't work for you? That's our mindset. We are so opinionated, it's pathetic. We convince ourselves that our judgment is correct. So we live it our lives and we find that within Sydney, Australia, because people have want of nothing, that nobody's interested. But beloved, may I remind you, Australia, including cats and dogs and cockroaches, has little more than 25 million people. But the world is up to 8 billion people. And the majority of the world is yet to hear the message of eternal life. And beloved, for you and I as God's people, we need to break out of that micro mind and we need to understand that most of the world is yet to hear the name of Jesus Christ. would love dearly to hear of a Saviour that offers forgiveness and life eternal, that offers the peace and joy of God. That's the majority of the world, and that's the world that you and I are called upon to reach. Did not our Lord Jesus say in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest." How were they here without a preacher? And just like the multitude pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches us to hear the Word of God, may I submit to you and I, my friend, this morning, as we consider missions, missions month, missions emphasis, world evangelism, not everybody is disinterested. And you and I can be involved in the missions program of this church, where men and women will go and obey the Great Commission with great compassion, and there will be people that will want to hear. But how will they hear without a preacher? But how will they hear without a preacher? My Bible teaches me, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how will they hear without a preacher? So to an extent, within our little micro worlds that we live in, it might not seem like many people are interested, but may I remind you, my friend, there's a lot more people interested than what you think, than what you realize. Don't be fooled. But the majority of the world is yet to hear the message of hope, that there is forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. So that's my initial challenge this morning, that there are people waiting to hear the gospel. And then note then verse number 2, Luke records that there were two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were not in the boat, they were on the shore mending or washing, caring for their nets. So as the people pressed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to hear the Word of God, Luke, the author of this book, notes two boats parked by the lake. And he also notes that the fishermen were washing their nets. They were maintaining the nets. The boats were unoccupied. The men were taking care of general maintenance. Men are the means of fishing. The boats, the nets were not being used at this time. The men were occupied with other things. Not bad things, necessary things. But not the main thing. My friend, God's means of catching men is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God needs willing vessels. God chooses to use people, not angels. The means to catch fish is nets, and the means to catch people is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of hope that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, providing forgiveness, eternal life for all mankind, for all that will repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. See, it's within the waters. That's where the fish are. Fish are not on the shore. If they are, they're dead. You probably don't want to bother with them. Eternal souls are on the waters. And we can catch men for the glory of God with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in verse 10, "From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Park boats with unused nets on dry land will guarantee the fact that you will not catch any fish. Am I right or not? But boats in the water with fish carry out their lives. And by fishermen actively casting out their nets will guarantee in time that they will catch fish. My friend, is your life parked? Or are you in the waters where the fish are? Are we in the waters where the fish are on a personal level, seeking to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Right where we live. Are we involved in the missions program of this church? See, there's nothing wrong with maintenance. There's nothing wrong with, from time to time, those fishing boats being set aside. But boats are made to float in water. I'm not much of a fisherman. I think it's a waste of time. Personally, I thank God for seafood shops. I thank God for the fish markets. But this idea of investing in a fishing rod and going down to the local lake and doing this and wasting all this time fiddling with smelly pieces of whatever in order to catch a fish, to me, that's senseless. Forgive me. I haven't seen the light yet. I don't see the point of that. I think you're better off going down to the fish markets and buy your fish. And all of God's people said. Well, at least some of us say amen. But. Okay. It takes a long time to catch a fish. It takes some effort. It's never appealed to me. Tried it once, didn't catch anything. I'll never do that again. But beloved, if you and I are to catch men, we need to be in the boat. We need to be on the waters. We need to be casting out the nets. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Note there in Acts chapter 1, please, verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It reads, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both, or at the same time." Where? In Jerusalem. In all Judea. In Samaria. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. Beloved, you and I as God's people need to keep the main thing the main thing. Yes, there is needful. We need time to mend our nets, so to speak. Take care of maintenance. But beloved, the main thing is the main thing. And that is to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A boat parked and nets on the shore will not guarantee a catch. You've got to be where the fish are. And God has made boats to float on water. Man has created boats. God's given them the ability to create a boat that floats on water. And so likewise, God has chosen you and I as His vessels in sharing the gospel with others. But we need to be out where the fish are. We need to endeavor to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Note then verse number 3, please, of Luke chapter 5. "And as the people pressed upon the Lord Jesus to hear the word of God," in the third verse it reads, "He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's." So these boats that were parked on the lake were fishing boats. This one was Simon Peter's boat, the Bible teaches us. "And our Lord Jesus prayed him," or besought him, he begged him, "that he would thrust out a little from the land. And as he did so," the Lord Jesus, "he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship." Because there were so many people, the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, may we borrow your boat and let's just go out a little into the water. And from that point, the Lord Jesus addressed the multitude there on the shore and taught them the Word of God. See, it's one thing to hear good doctrine. It's another thing to have a teachable spirit. Let me ask you this morning, are you teachable when it comes to thus saith the Lord? Are you teachable when it comes to thus saith the Lord? What about the realm of missions? Are you prepared to hear the Word of God? See, the people wanted to hear the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus honored their hunger, and he taught the people out of the ship, the Bible teaches us, in the third verse. Do you have a teachable spirit? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering to usward. Who is the usward? You. Me. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh yes, God is long-suffering to those without Christ. But may I submit to you that God is long-suffering to you and I. As God's people, we have a job to do. Jesus Christ is coming again. He can come back at any moment. And we need to be about the Master's business. Amen? Are you teachable? My Bible teaches me in Psalm 9, verse 17. Let's turn there, please. Why quote it when we can look at it? Psalm 9, 17. A sobering verse. My friend, if you and I are serious about world evangelism and missions, we need to be teachable. The people pressed upon the Lord Jesus. They wanted to hear the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus taught them. Here in Psalm 9, verse 17, it reads, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Just allow